Blog Talk Radio.
Women have the power to transform this world. We can end crime and violence if we all agree to do one thing: share. Let's share our wisdom, share our time, share our talents, share our finances, but most of all, let's share our love. This is the Female Solution. Join me, Naima Latif, every morning, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Central Standard Time, as we bring you stimulating discussions about the issues affecting our lives. If you're listening online at www.blogtalkradio.com/the-female-solution, press the blue button that says follow and get our daily topics every morning directly to your email and your smartphone.
Hi, I'm Naima Latif, executive producer of the Female Solution Radio Show. We invite you to call in 515-605-9325 and participate in this daily think tank as we examine the challenges we face and develop solutions that restore peace and harmony. We are global transformers, changing the world from the way it is to the way it should be. We are one. Wherever we live on this earth, we are one human family. On behalf of our team of radio hosts, I'd like to extend a greeting to all the members of our family, whenever and wherever you may be listening around the world. To our family in China, Ni Hao. In India, Namaste. In Japan, Konnichiwa. In Korea, Annyeonghaseyo. In Russia, Zdravstvuyte. In Germany, Guten Tag. In Poland, Dzień dobry. In France, Bonjour. In Spain, Hola. In Italy, Ciao. In Egypt, Ahlan wa sahlan. In Ghana, Akwaba. In Nigeria, Peleo. In South Africa, Saubona. In Senegal, Nangadef. In Kenya, Jambo. In Israel, Shalom. In Pakistan, Afghanistan, and Saudi Arabia, Assalamu alaikum. Greetings, and may peace be upon you all.
Tune in to Soulful Solutions with Dr. Debbie Green on Thursdays at 7 a.m. Central Standard Time and 8 a.m. Eastern Standard Time to hear great topics and stories on grief and turn you into victory. Join Dr. Debbie Green to listen to stories of triumph and learn how to overcome. You are not alone in your life, and there is hope in the darkest hour. This is your time to learn strategies and solutions to improve your life. It's your time. So join Dr. Debbie Green with Soulful Solutions and call in on Thursday at 7 a.m. Central Standard Time and 8 a.m. Eastern Standard Time at 515-605-9325 with comments and questions. Look to hear from you real soon.
Grand Rising, and thank you all for joining us for another fantastic edition of Soulful Solutions with Dr. Debbie Green here on the Female Solution Global Radio TV Show. I'm Naima Latif, and you can join me and Dr. Debbie Green on Facebook Live. Go to Facebook and type in Soulful Solutions, and you'll see the beautiful face of Dr. Debbie Green. And we'll be talking today about the latest events. In today's latest events, we are exposed to sudden death, such as mass murder, horrendous crimes of domestic and family violence, wars, racial divide, etc. It's not uncommon to become stricken with anxiety and fear of movement. It can shatter self-identity, affect family and personal relationships. After your thinking and feelings about the world around you, well, it's going to affect you. Can you recognize if you are affected by this energy lurking in our world today? Well, join us today. Dr. Debbie Green will discuss some much-needed psychoeducation about how to free the mind, heart, and spirit from fear, the most destructive force in the world today. Free yourself so you may live a life of freedom. And this is critical because when every single day you are bombarded with the most frightening news, and many times it might be in your own backyard, and you're feeling compelled to keep a track of all the acts of violence, believing that the more you know, the more you can keep yourself safe. But this isn't necessarily the case. One time I was standing next to a police officer friend, and they were in the process of making a report about a crime that had just happened. And while they were making out their report, of course, through on their radio, they were getting all of the ongoing radio notices of different acts of crime in the area. And it was every few seconds something was happening. Burglar over here, a domestic conflict over here, a robbery over there. And it was just every single moment something awful was happening. And it was right in that area. So, of course, you know, as a police officer, they had to determine whether or not a call, you know, they knew that if a call was in their district, they had to go handle it, or another car would be called. And because they were in the process of handling a particular case, they couldn't leave. But they were in constant contact with and being information about and given information about those events. So, of course, it was horrific listening to it and realizing that these things were happening in our midst. So Dr. Debbie Green is here, and you will have an opportunity to get some insight on how to keep yourself from being inundated with these reports. As I listen to my police officer friend's radio reports, it's on and on and on. I thought, how in the world can you stay sane knowing that every few seconds a crime is being committed, there's some life-threatening thing happening, and this is on your radio all day long. So I really feel for police officers who get a daily, hourly, minute-by-minute, second-by-second report of the worst of behaviors, and they have to go and address it. But if you, the individual citizen, you, the civilian, that's not your job to go and stop crime, but if you're hearing it all the time, how fearful must it make you? And at some point, you start believing you can't even leave your home because you start believing that everybody's dangerous, everywhere is dangerous, and that's when you reduce the quality of your life. So we have to learn how to overcome that fear. So thank you, Dr. Debbie, for bringing us this insight today.
Well, thank you, thank you, thank you, as always, Naima. I was led to do this because of, you know, the times that we're living in. I mean, and this is not something new. We've experienced this before, but something is a bit different. It seems more, I don't know, intensive to me. It seems more overbearing. And just listening to individuals that come into the hospital with great anxieties, depression, you know, phobias, and they're mentioning this. They said, you know, how am I supposed to keep a mind of peace when everything around me is crashing? Everything around me is self-destructing. People are self-destructing. It's just, you know, hard for me to focus when, I mean, yes, I'm supposed to concentrate on myself. I'm trying to help myself. But here, you know, even if you're not listening to the news, you hear it in families. You know, it's like almost like a bacteria at some degree that we are exposed to. And we have to realize, you know, have I been exposed? You know, is it coming in? Is it saturating? Has it gotten in my pores? You know, what is the symptoms? There is symptoms of great fear. And, you know, some fear is there to keep us alive. And that's the healthy fear. fear of not wanting to be deteriorated in any way, emotionally, mentally, physically, spiritually, you know, and it keeps us in a place where we are aware, okay, what's happening with this being, you know, what's happening with, you know, what am I thinking, what am I feeling, what's causing me to, you know, get off focus or off keter or, you know, bothered or irritated. I can go on and on with the words, but are you aware of that? Are you aware that you have taken in so much that you can't take it anymore and it's changing you? So I wanted to really, you know, elaborate on that and talk about what happens in the human being's mind, their actions and behavior, if they are, you know, affected by fear on a whole nother basis. And I think that's extremely important right now, you know, because, again, this looks like epidemic, okay? You know, we're talking about the pandemic. Mm. Epidemic is systematic, you know. It's a system breakdown failure.
Yes.
That we deal with. And everyone, you know, we have so many factors, Naima, that we can pull out of why this is happening. We can look at, you know, the government. We can look at the state. We can talk about how we were raised. It's so many factors leading to the same answer.
Yes.
You know, but there got to be a solution.
And there is a solution. And this is why people can't get so overwhelmed that they feel like there's no hope, because then that's when you begin to minimize your life, like you're saying, you know, the quality of your life diminishes when you're afraid to leave your home or you're paranoid at every person you meet. You can't even be open or friendly because you're always terrified, and you don't want to live like that, but that's what happens when people start to believe that every place is potentially a place where they're going to be a target for some type of act of violence.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you mentioned healthy fear, but there's a difference between paranoia when you imagine that everybody's dangerous, you know, like when a black man gets in an elevator with you and you clutch your purse, you know, that response because of how we have been conditioned. And men who go through that, you know, they feel the insult. It's like, I don't want nothing you got. You know, what's wrong with you? But they realize the conditioning that people have had, it has nothing to do with actual danger. So there's a difference between the conditioned paranoia and your actual instincts when you feel the vibration of someone and you know that there's something imbalanced in their energy, and you get the inspiration to move away from them because you feel that they are dangerous. How can people know the difference between their actual instinct, which all living beings have, and their paranoia, which may have been conditioned by the images that they're seeing throughout the media and all the other information devices that we've depended upon? How can they tell the difference?
Well, our initial intuitive abilities that we have are what, you know, like you say, it's a gut feeling. It's a gut feeling, like you have, like, you know, oh, I should have went left when I went right. You know what I'm saying? It's, I mean, usually it gives you a sign. It gives you a sign, and it's not over, what they call overbearing. It's not based on a lot of, I call word chatter, mind chatter, as one would say. Mm-hmm. Mind chatter is like, oh, my God, something's happening. This is going wrong. You know, I better do this. I better do that. You know, mind chatter is like an ongoing thought process that the ego has been altered by fear.
Mm.
You see what I'm saying? And I wanted to, let's look at the environmental, because I think that's what you're asking me now.
Yeah.
You're asking me about the environmental influences of fear.
Yeah.
Because I want to touch bases on three areas. There's really more areas, but I just prioritized them because of the sake of timing. But the first one is the environmental fear. That's what we're dealing with. Every human being is dealing with environmental fear right now because of the signs of the times that we're living in, because we're looking and listening to different things. Even if you don't listen to the news, you see it on the faces of people.
Yeah.
You can go in a grocery store, a bank, it's all on their faces.
Yeah.
The irritation, the frustration, the anger, sadness, the despair, all of that that you see. And then they're not just dealing with what they hear in social media or on the news, if they watch the news, read the newspaper. They're dealing with it even in their homes because if their family members have been affected by fear immensely, then they're going to change as well. So now we have influences from the environmental processes of just what it does to a family, also what it does to just that individual.
Right.
So the healthy part of it is when one notices, how do you wake up in the morning?
Mm-hmm.
Okay? When you wake up in the morning, you should wake up with a state of contentment. It's not happiness. People don't wake up gleeful. They wake up content. Content, which means, okay, I am at peace of where I am. I am at peace with myself. I am at peace with my being.
Yeah.
You know, contentment.
Yeah.
And that contentment leads you into a place of peace daily. Daily. But if you wake up irritated, agitated, I mean, if a situation is happening and you're here and now, which means if you woke up to a situation that is, you know, causing you to be emotionally moved or involved, that's something totally different. That means you have evidence to say, okay, I am upset because ABC.
Mm-hmm.
But if something that happened or not happening, then that's the issue. If it's a past situation or if there's something you heard or if you picked up an energy from, you know, outside resources such as news, such as, you know, different types or, you know, of sayings, or, you know, whatever the external stimuli, external meaning outside of yourself,
mm-hmm.
outside of yourself, you know. And so what we hear, like, you know, the Uvalde killings, murders, okay, we think about the children, we think about the families, we think about all of the things that they could have done, that they might have had. I mean, our minds just go on and on and on and on and on, you know, because we're trying to bring some rationality to it. But again, it's when we wake up irritated, agitated, you have to ask yourself, why am I agitated? Just don't be in it. Just don't sit in it. Find out what the reason why. And if there is a reason, you should ask, okay, where's the evidence that I feel what I feel? Why? It has to have some type of evidence. And one of our Facebook viewers, Dorothy Evans, made a very good point. Yes, we got so many kids living in fear, they are scared to go back to school now. Absolutely. That's why I was saying the effect of the environment affects the child. So quite now, the child's affected. The mother, the father is affected. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So it's a bacteria, if we're not careful, a paranoia of discontentment, you know, and we will evolve into it. It's like, you know, we evolve, we become it if we're not careful. So I want to just kind of point out some very important, critical identifiers. Again, if you find yourself being irritated and being paranoid when you get up and you start moving on the road, when you are driving, you know, overly feeling road rage, overly looking at, you know, when you walk in the stores, feeling the paranoia, like something's going to happen. Okay, you're going into a phobia. If something is happening, you're getting into a phobic mindset, and I call it a fear-based mindset. Some people already have that. Some people have anxieties with social gatherings, wanting not to be in larger crowds. And it's more so than most now due to the fact, again, because of the mass killings and the random mass killings in public places. So, again, stay mindful, but also stay watchful and aware over your own being. Don't allow fear to overtake you. Don't, you know, rest and know that you are doing everything in your power to maintain, and, you know, just be aware of your surroundings. If your children are in an area of fear, not wanting to go back to school, and if you see them build up with a lot of anxiety, don't ignore that, please.
Mm.
Please don't ignore that. Because you will find, say, Mommy, I don't want to go back to school. I'm afraid. Okay, that's a main, if they tell you that, it's not that they just don't want to go back to school. They are afraid. So if you force them and to go back to school for whatever reason, some people have to go to work, I don't have a babysitter, okay, you got to go back to school. You know, you can't stay at home. You cannot be a latchkey kid. You're not old enough, blah, blah, blah. Okay, I understand that. But if that anxiety is interrupting the ADLs, activity of daily living, and if it's interrupting yours, if you find it hard to go to sleep, if you are being disturbed, if you are being so irritated where you are, your very, you know, ability to take care of yourself has been threatened, okay, that's a problem. That's how you know that something's shifting inside your being, something's, you know, disturbing your spirit. And the only way to be aware of that is to pay attention to yourself.
Yes.
Absolutely.
You know, I feel for parents who are struggling with that when their children say, I'm afraid to go to school. Because if I still had a school-age child and this child was saying, I don't want to go to school, I might keep them home for a couple of days, you know, because I would almost see that as maybe they need like a mental health day, because you don't know how deep the crisis is in them, you know, especially if they've been watching these news reports, and it's horrific for adults to watch it, but imagine how children feel hearing details about children being massacred. And I'm glad you brought that up about children being afraid, because parents really need to think about the wisdom in allowing their children to hear these reports over and over and over again. It is traumatizing to them. And we're thinking, well, you know, I want them to know what's going on so they can be safe. What power do they have if someone bursts in their classroom? They don't have any, and that's what they're feeling, the helplessness.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't want to be exposed to a helpless situation where they're sitting ducks waiting to be picked off by a crazed gunman or gunwoman. And just watching it every day isn't keeping them safe. It is traumatizing them. So we have to make intelligent decisions about how much we're exposing our children to this story over and over again.
Exactly.
And we're not giving them tools to cope with it. We're not, I mean, we can say, oh, your things will be fine at your school. We don't know that, because everybody is still trying to figure out, you know, why it took the police so long to finally come in, and then, you know, how the whole classroom shot up. I mean, they still haven't figured out what went wrong. So, and then there was this another shooting at a health facility. So
right.
Children are hearing that, and they're not feeling like we have the power to protect them.
Right.
And they have a right to feel that way, because we don't have the power to protect them. That's why we didn't protect them, and they know that. And so they have a right to feel like, I don't want to go to school until you all figure this out. I don't want to go because I don't feel like I'm safe. I don't feel like my life is going to be protected. They have a right to feel that. So we have to make a choice to stop exposing them to this in such an overwhelming way where that is going to be their response. I just don't want to go to school.
Absolutely, absolutely. Our Facebook viewer, Dorothy Evans, also wrote, it makes you paranoid because we don't know where it's coming from. We could be in a grocery store, gas station, driving down the highway. We just don't know. We just have to stay prayed up. Absolutely. Absolutely. That is the most profound thing. So, you know, we ask ourselves when it comes to our children, I want to stay there for a second. We ask ourselves, you know, what is going to be best, to be homeschooled or go back into the system? You know, what is the safest area, you know, for our children that are stricken with anxiety? Because some parents have actually made that decision to homeschool their children, you know, to put them on virtual classes and take them out of the school systems due to the fact that they feel that the government or the state facilities, whoever it falls in the hands of, you know, our children are not protected, you know. So they don't want to take that chance. They don't want to, you know, subject their children to any excess fear, you know, because, again, it does change that person. It changes that person forever. Fear is the only thing that change and transforms a human mind for a very long period of time. And it comes in different factors. So we're talking about environmental factors now, society factors that affect our lives and how we think about ourselves and also each other. Because we know that there's a lot of self-destruction out there, you know. Mm-hmm. When one destroys another human being, it destroys itself. Yeah. So that's what we're dealing with. We deal with self-destructive behavior.
Yes. You know, the society, the lawmakers, the officials were willing to keep everybody at home to keep them safe from a pandemic when it was a health issue. Well, this is a health issue as well.
Yes.
And yes. Parents have a right to keep their children home until our society, our elected officials, our citizenry, our collective body of humanity, until we can figure out how to eliminate this vibration of violence.
Right.
Until we
Absolutely.
Can keep our children safe, I would support any parent who said, I'm just going to homeschool. Because their children still need to have an opportunity to learn and to develop and to experience life. And since the educational systems were all geared up to keep everything virtual in order to protect the physical health, we have to also protect the mental health.
Yes.
And that's just as much as a crisis. So I would say we need to go back to homeschooling until we work this out. Because we got some situations that we don't have a handle on. You can't vaccinate away crime and violence, and you've got to figure out as a society what have you done to create this crisis. And if you can't get lawmakers to make common sense gun laws, then people are going to have to make common sense decisions about their lifestyle. If people choose to withdraw and go into quarantine, have your groceries delivered, and homeschool your children, and just stay off the streets until those who have the ability and the responsibility to remove the dangerous elements from our society, these weapons of war, the ammunition and all of that, and the conditions that push people to the edge of psychotic behavior. Until we correct these things, people have a right to keep themselves safe in their homes. Now, the other issue that we have, and we've talked about this, what happens inside those dysfunctional homes where that's where the abuse is happening and that's where the people are coming out of committing these mass shootings because of what's happening in their home. How do we deal with that? And I know we got to come up to a break in a moment, but that's the only downside to going back into quarantine, because you have people who need help and children who are living in nightmarish situations And they can't escape once everybody goes back inside, because now where do they go? Some children, that was their only refuge, was the school. That might have been the only place where they got a decent meal and were around people who were sane and sober and got nurturing. So if they don't have that, then what do we do? And that's the issue we have to deal with. What about those who are living inside of homes where the home itself is the problem?
Exactly.
Yes.
Exactly. So we will address that once we get back.
All right. We're going to go to a break, and we've got some callers on the line. If you're listening online and want to join this conversation, give us a call, 515-605-9325. Press 1 when you're ready to speak, and we'll come right to you and get your thoughts. And 773-977, we can come to you after the break, and we'll be right back. So stay with us.
Hey, it's time to take charge of your health. I'm Viata, your holistic life coach, and every Friday morning at 8 a.m. Eastern Daylight Time, I'm here on The Female Solution to empower you to make choices that will assist your evolution to abundant health. I'm also blogging every Sunday evening at 8 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time at Soul Purpose Healing, where I bring you a spiritual chiropractic adjustment to bring you back into alignment with our Creator's love, compassion, and wisdom. Join me every Friday morning at 8 a.m. and Sunday evening at 8 p.m. for a time of unity, enlightenment, and love vibration. Shalom.
Have you ever dreamed of going to exotic places, meeting fascinating people, enjoying uplifting music, and spending nights in a luxurious hotel? Do you look forward to a relaxing vacation where you can walk along the beach or sit in a quiet park and enjoy the sunset or sunrise? Whether you're flying around the world or driving across the country, we will share travel tips that will help you stay safe while you enjoy the journey. Join me every third Saturday of the month, 12 noon to 2 p.m. Central Standard Time, and move around with Deborah here on the Female Solutions Show. Call in and comment, 515-605-9325, and press 1 to speak.
Taxes are higher than ever. Every day, thousands of our residents leave Chicago to shop in Indiana. Jobs are being lost, and businesses are relocating. Let's find a way to lower our taxes to encourage residents to continue living and shopping in our city. Let's rebuild. Let's restore Chicago. Vote for me, for mayor of the city of Chicago, and I will work hard to find solutions that matter. I'm Dr. Willie Wilson, and I approve this message.
Paid for by Willie Wilson for Mayor.
Told me, she said, all these years, I've been living in fear and had no idea. I thought it was just who I was.
Thought it was just normal. Yeah. You don't even realize it until you realize it. Yeah.
Normal to be afraid. Normal to not speak up. Normal to not self-advocate. So, you know, before I get into the behaviors and the symptoms, you know, what fear does after you have, you know, gotten. And I want to take that caller because I think what we were talking about is basically dealing with the children, if I'm not mistaken.
Right. Should we keep them home if they say they're too afraid to go to school? Arizona 773-977, introduce yourself to our listening and viewing audience and give us your comments.
Well, good morning, and giving honor to God this morning, and giving honor to Dr. Debbie Green, and giving honor to our executive producer, Naeem Latif. God is still on the throne, and he's still watching over us. And he's been taking care of us a long, long time. And honor to all of our listeners all over the world. One thing for sure, we can say, ain't God good? So I know that we don't know. We really don't know about our children, what have you. But one thing we do know about the killing is that there was no one there with a firearm to protect themselves, not a teacher, not a student. No one was, let's say, under the Constitution of the United States of America, under the Second Amendment, I believe. I could be mistaken. However, they have a right to bear arms. I just feel that had someone there, you know, had a gun, I don't believe all of them would have been killed, you know. And so what do we do? We close the school. They close the school, I understand. But the solution, where is it? We really don't know.
Well, you know, that's an interesting perspective, and I believe this is Lois from Chicago. We've had a lot of debate about that, you know, would arming the teachers make children feel safe? And, you know, and I always had a joke with my sister who taught elementary school in a very challenging classroom. And she said, you know, what tends to happen when you have a weapon, number one, it's never available to you in an emergency that, you know, someone breaking into a school and shooting would create, because you wouldn't have time to even go and get the gun, which would have to be locked away somewhere so that children didn't have access to it, which is the same thing as when you have a gun in your home, you say, okay, this is for the robber. Well, if somebody breaks in on surprise and surprises you in your home, they're not going to say, well, wait a minute, let me go get my gun. You know, they're not going to wait for you to do that. So, you know,
what I was trying to say is, you know, I was married to a husband. He taught at Wendell Phillips High School, and he carried his gun with him every day to school. And
did
I'm
he
talking
ever
about
you?
Back in the 70s, and he was there for 25 years. Pardon me?
Did he ever have to use it?
Did he ever have to use it? He never had to use it, but I know one of the students, excuse me, told him one day, the suckers, you know what, and so the parents came up to the school. The mother's boyfriend came with him, and he told my husband right in front of the principal, Miss Curry, and everybody else to suck it again. And then he ran out of the school. Jones ran after him, and when he got to 39th and Prairie somewhere, the young man turned the curve, and Jones called himself turned the curve and fell on his butt, was down for about a month. But I do know that he bared his arm every day, and he had a knife. Excuse me. He's expired now, but he was alive. You know, I have no reason to lie on the man. But every day he had a gun. He took his gun to school.
Yeah.
And so,
I mean,
and
I can understand that, but that's the point I'm making. Somebody can make you angry. One of those students can make you angry, and before you know it, you have reacted not because it's a life-threatening situation, but because they've triggered your anger, and then you end up shooting someone because they said something or did something that made you angry, which later on when you calm down, you think, oh, I shouldn't have done that. But you had the gun, and that's what makes
a teacher being raped by the student in school. Excuse me. We caught a teacher being raped in the school at Winterfields High School. These youngsters had her up in the room, and they were all getting ready to rape her. And they tell me he went in with a gun, and a couple of other teachers had guns too. One of the principals came in there, and all of them had guns, you know. And this teacher, they was getting ready to just run a train on this teacher, you know. So sometimes, you know, I think in that case where those children were killed, somebody should have had a gun or something. I believe you should have bare arms. Everybody should have a gun. I think everybody should be given a gun. They had phones. Those children were calling in for help. It would have been wonderful if those phones could have turned into some type of ammunition or powder or something. You know, those kids were helpless. The teachers were helpless. Really, we're carrying nothing. And those of us today, we need to carry something. If it's nothing but perfume or something to spray on somebody or what have you. Because you never know what, you know, we're just going to come across a real fool. That's all I have to say for today. And I just thank God for all of us still being here and our families having been protected all of this time by the Lord. If we woke up this morning, and thank you, Jesus, and all of us are still in our right mind and listening to the solution of the day. So thanks for this time, and God bless you all, and just know that I love you.
Thank you so much, Lois. We love you, and we appreciate you. You know, Dr. Debbie, she's expressing what a lot of people are feeling.
Yeah.
They're feeling like we just arm more people. If we could just have more weapons available, maybe the children should have weapons, or, you know, give your child a knife when they go to school. And you got some parents who do that. You know, their child is carrying something that can be used as a weapon. And so, I mean, this is the sentiment that has been created by fear, the belief that you're not safe, so be ready to counterattack when you're attacked. That's the mindset. How do you teach in an environment where everybody's on edge? And then what Lois is describing, what was happening at Wendell Phillips High School here in Chicago, was criminal activity. Gang criminal activity, or you know, the kind of collective criminal assault that should never happen in a school. So it's a whole lot deeper, we know, than, okay, let's arm the people. You have to do something that creates to remove what creates the behavior in the first place. So what do you see as the best way to address situations where the environment really is dangerous, the people's behavior really is deadly? Should we simply go back to homeschooling until we figure that out?
Well, again, you know, one cannot make decisions for another human being. However, if you ask me my opinion, I'm going to give it to you. We cannot be a part of the problem.
Mm.
Okay? So, which means that if we want, see, the government has failed us. I told you, and we're in a systematic breakdown. All schools, all areas, and they can put trillions and trillions of dollars overseas and studying the moon, the stars, and everything else, but they don't put it in the protective measures for to arm and protect their people.
Mm.
Okay, so what? Oh, if you can do it at TMA, you can go through the airport. You go to the airport, that's the first thing you're going to walk into. You're going to have to take off your shoes. You're going to have to take everything off, any type of metal detector, and you have to go through there. TMA, right? You hold your hands up, and they examine you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Why can't we not put that on the school doors?
Well, you know, we have
metal. Why can it not be a surveillance camera that's hooked to the police department or the fire department or the local sheriff department, you know, looking and surveilling. Surveillance cameras around all school, all their daycare facilities. If they really want to save, rescue the American people, that's what they want to do. But it's unfortunate that death is exploited right now, exploited
yes.
and used death for something that it should not be used for. Okay. Now the young man had a and I want to address what Ms. Laura said. You know, if a teacher had a gun, a principal had a gun, or whatever, because the school doors were open.
Yeah.
They were open. They didn't think that somebody crazy or insane or hostile was going to walk in that door that day.
Right.
This was purely contemplated by the person thereof.
Mm-hmm.
He knew that this was the last day. He knew that nobody was expecting him
right.
to come in there and do what he did.
Yes.
You see what I'm saying? And the thing about this is he had armor on, so even if you did have a gun, if you shot him in the chest or whatever, it would have bounced off, okay? It might have knocked him down or whatever, but he had automatic rifles, people.
Yes.
This is the thing that I'm trying to get you to understand. It is the automatic rifle, automatic rifle. When you pull that trigger, it goes bam, 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 bam. There's no engaging. There's no stopping, not even for a second. So even if they had a handgun, what do they need? You trying to tell me they need an automatic rifle too?
Right. And then,
you know,
then
even if they had a handgun, they still would be subject to death.
Right.
Because now you are endangering the children.
Right.
See, you can be a part of the problem.
Yes,
in times we are, you know, people are walking around with their guns on. Okay, that's their perspective. You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Going into the grocery store, going to the bank, that's their perspective. But again, we have to understand we cannot be a part of the problem. The thing about it, the schools should, you got the chairmen of the schools that get these budgets, they get this money, you know, into the school systems for testing and everything else. Why can't they not give the again, we need surveillance cameras, we need metal detectors, we need armed guards, you got some of the retired vets around and need something to do. Send them to this school over here. Send them to that school over there. Or whatever the case may be, it should be something to let us know that our children are protected. The most innocent ones. The most innocent ones. Same thing with the hospitals. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Same thing with the hospitals.
I mean,
you know, it's the same process. Metal detectors need to be on all doors. All doors. But, you know, this is the odd thing. Can I tell you something?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, when the pandemic was real high,
mm-hmm.
guess what? You wouldn't let anybody in there with no mask on.
Right. Right.
Okay? You don't want to get the virus. You don't want to get sick. But then, you know, that was a mandate.
Mm-hmm.
But why it cannot be a mandate to protect our children?
Oh, yeah. I mean, if you can make rules and regulations to keep people out of places because you fear they will bring germs, you can have that same capacity to protect people from gun violence, from any kind of physical violence.
Absolutely. One of our Facebook viewers, Carolyn Heron, said, don't be a part of the problem. More guns and weapons is not the answer. Absolutely. It's not. And again, we are in society that we think we have to shoot at someone when they shoot at us. Okay, we're the same person.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying that we should be sitting ducks. It all is, you know, we have a divine connection,
mm-hmm.
okay? Our divine, and you know, as Ms. Lloyd said when she came on the phone, oh, God is still on the throne. Yes, he is. But then we still need to arm ourselves.
So
I don't understand.
So then
if
that
he's
means,
not the protector.
So then we don't really believe that God is all-powerful if we're still saying we need
I'm
to
not,
have
I'm just saying,
guns
this is just my opinion.
In our schools.
That's all it is. I don't shoot anyone down for their honor, but I'm just saying, if you know that he's on the throne and he's going to protect his people, and you said, so what about the people that are dying that are innocent? So God is not protecting them either, right?
Yeah, I think we got another comment from
Carolyn. Oh, we got to get ready to get deep in this topic because it's real. Fear is real.
Fear is real. And perhaps you can share the comment that Carolyn just made about the mental health checks, because that's the next thing I was going to say.
When
people are purchasing a gun, that means they intend to shoot someone. Why are we not doing mental health checks when they can? During the height of the pandemic, you couldn't go into certain places. You couldn't go into a place unless you had gotten tested and made sure you didn't have COVID symptoms. You know, when we wanted to go to a sports event or a concert or anything, any public place, you know, some of the restaurants are saying, "Oh, you got a COVID test." So if you can't go to some place unless you're tested to make sure you don't have a virus, if you purchase a gun, you should have to be tested to make sure you don't have mental illness.
Well, one of our own, Vienna Robinson wrote, "Carolyn Heron, until our society is free of zombies, mental illness, and
a tyrannical government,
every community needs to arm, train individuals for protection." I'd like to know, in what capacity are you talking about? If I could just share something with you, Vienna. Protection is in the mind.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Protection is in the mind. It is not in the object. And I'm hoping that you are referring to this, right? And this is just my opinion, people. This is not some law or etched in stone. I'm just telling you this because I see things up in personal. When you work in a mental health hospital, you hear things and you see it, and it's a reality of what we deal with and what's out the outcome of what we're dealing with. Okay? So what I'm saying is protection is in the mind. And I'm going to tell you why it's in the mind. Because fear gravitates everything outside of ourselves to make it a reality. What am I saying? If your virtual reality is overcome by fear, it is going to pull things out of the universe towards you.
Mm-hmm.
All right? So it doesn't matter if you're trained with a gun. It doesn't matter if you're not use a knife. Yes, I think, that as far as people need to arm combat, is a wonderful thing, you know, to what they call when they're teaching you how to fight, you know what I'm saying, in some capacity to arm yourself, but to arm yourself with another hard iron and to use. You have children that are in the gun range and their parents are teaching them how to shoot. They're teaching them how to use a gun in some capacity. And, I mean, we want to feel protected. But again, you got to know how far should one go to keep one safe, to the point of where we become like the society, or should we stay in a place and posture in mental capacities? It's very important. You know what I'm saying? I think she's responding to this. Behind many of these mass shootings is
tyrannical
government that wants to remove guns for more control. So their MO is problem, reaction, solution.
Well, so the idea is...
Yeah, help me explain that.
I think the point that she's trying to make is that there is a deliberate intention that the government has to de-arm people in order to get control. So they're allowing these acts of violence to happen so that the public reaction will be, oh, we need to get rid of guns. And then once some type of law is passed that removes guns from the hands of citizens, then the government then becomes a tyrant in control over the population because only government officials have guns. So, I mean, this is the fear that created that whole Second Amendment in the first place when you had the United States, which wasn't the United States yet, a British colony, and you had British soldiers able to burst into people's homes and terrorize them. So the thought was, we don't want to ever be under a government that can brutalize people at will. People have the right to protect their own home, and so people have the right to have their own weapons. That was the thought behind the Second Amendment to the Constitution, the memory of that experience with the colonizers once when America was still a British colony. So the idea that many people who are advocating for citizens being able to bear arms is that if you take away the citizens' arms, then the government will abuse you. But you have to think about this. You have the power to elect people. That's the whole point of a democracy or a republic, whatever you call it. You're electing people to represent you. Why would you elect people that you don't trust to treat you right and not abuse you? I mean, that's like feeling like you got to arm yourself against your spouse. Why would you marry someone that you think you might have to defend yourself against because they might abuse you? Why would you do that? So my thought is, if we take responsibility for the kinds of people we are electing to represent us as lawmakers, we should trust them enough not to feel that we have to fear them turning on us and creating a military state where citizens are abused by a military-style government. We should be electing people who represent a philosophy of peace and of respect for people. That's who we should be electing. That's our responsibility. We shouldn't have to arm ourselves against the government because they're the people that we chose.
Right, exactly. And again, there's many factors that people point fingers of what and why these things, they feel these things are happening. But Carolyn made another good topic discussion. She's like, I am a wife of a police officer and also a daughter of a police officer. I don't have an issue with protecting myself. Carry a gun if you would, but I guarantee more unnecessary deaths will occur.
Absolutely.
Because when people do that, if we all carry guns, then it will be random fire. And there's enough people out here that already have guns, trust and believe. You know what I'm saying? You got billions and billions of people that are armed. I mean, if you have a gun in your home, there's nothing wrong with that. I think if that's what you want to do. But, you know, again, it's very important that, you know, if you carry a gun, you better very well know how to use it because somebody can take it from you and kill you. So, you know, and so, again, you know, self-destruction is really, it's real. It's real,
it's
you know,
really
and I think this society that we are in, it is going to be a continuance of this. It's, unfortunately, it doesn't seem like it's getting any better. It's, gun violence is the highest it's ever been since the pandemic. The research is showing this. You know what I'm saying? Like, they are pinning it on the fear-based mindset of people having to stay in for that whole year and going through all types of changes. That's the reason why they're coming out with this and that. I mean, who should know? You know, we were just talking about this last week. You know, mental illness and spiritual vexedness. What makes the individual so angry to the way they go out and kill themselves and kill other people?
Absolutely.
You know?
Yeah.
Fear. False evidence appearing real. That's what it is. It is a bacteria.
Yeah.
It is a bacteria. You got to be careful that you cannot be affected by it. Because if you're affected by your love in yourself, will wax cold and you will become it. It's a bacteria. That's what it is. It's an epidemic. power. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? There's no vaccine for it.
You know, the
only thing is self-awareness. And yeah. Then one should ask again, am I in fear? You know, is my mind overtaken by what I think? Oh, I got to protect myself because if I don't protect myself, I don't protect my children, you know what I'm saying? You know, they're going to come get me.
Yeah. And then you attract that. You attract that energy to you. That's
what
people
learn. And it was designed to do this, Saima.
Yeah.
It was designed. Fear has an energy. It has a voice. It has an action. It has a behavior. It wanted to do this. It was designed to do that. You have things and people that create things out of fear so that other people would do certain things of self-mass destruction. So that is the corporate. The corporate is fear that's causing mass self-destruction.
Absolutely. You know, the interesting thing is there are places in the world where this does not happen. It would seem that the intelligent thing to do would be to observe countries where this does not happen. And obviously they're doing something so that it doesn't happen. So simply do what they're doing. It's like anything else you want to learn. If someone is doing something that you would like to do, then you observe how they do what they do, and then you do the same. So places where they may have one murder a month, or one murder a year, you know, they may have, you know, almost zero jail population, places where children can run free without fear, places where no one locks their doors. What are they doing to create that environment? There are things that they do that make it possible. There is an answer. And if we would choose to follow the example of places where people do not live in fear, then we would not be living in fear, and we would not be overtaken by violence. The solution is right in front of us.
Mm-hmm.
We just have to choose to follow it.
Absolutely, absolutely. Our Facebook viewer, Karen Heron, also said, I said it and I'll say it again, as long as we keep allowing anyone to purchase any kind of gun, we're setting our society up for more and more violence. I absolutely correct. I agree. I just like to know the people that own gun stores, why are you selling AKAs? Why are you selling automatic rifles?
They
do you not think, when you think that you sell an automatic rifle, one, two, three, or how many you sell, you know what I'm saying? Just, I mean, an automatic rifle to an 18-year-old that's not even 21 years old.
Right.
What do you think he's doing with that, shooting a tree?
Right.
Really?
Right.
You don't care. You just want the money.
Yeah.
So guess what? Whoever sold to him and the other young man, those automatic rifles, I wonder if they can lay their head down to, and not even worry about all the bloodshed that's on their hands.
Of course, because we didn't do it. We didn't make him do it. We just sold the product.
You should have questioned it. It's not just about giving the money. Now your life is in danger. Your family is in danger. So when you sell those guns like that, You have to know that you're putting yourself in a position, because the majority of mass killings, be it three to higher many, is with automatic rifles.
Mm-hmm.
That's the majority of them. So when they're selling war gear, that's war gear. That's not everyday protected type of, you know, that's not hard iron, as they would say. You know what I'm saying? That's not an ordinary gun. It's war gear.
Right.
But I know we have to go to a...
Right. And then we got some more callers on the switchboard. Yes. And if you're listening online and want to join this conversation, give us a call, 515-605-9325, and press 1. That will light your number up on our switchboard, and we'll know you have something to say. And we will be right back after this quick break. So we want you to stick and stay. Don't stray away. We'll be back in a moment. Stay with us.
What if you could live to be 120 years old and remain active, healthy, alert, and vibrant? Our bodies are made up of cells that are constantly rejuvenating, So if we take proper care of ourselves, we can literally defy aging. Join us every Tuesday from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Central Standard Time to learn about self, self-care from Susan Essentials on the Female Solution Blog Talk Radio Show. Learn how to help your body and your cells feel rejuvenated each day through proper nutrition, sleep, frequency medicine, and many unconventional methods of self-care. I'm Jody Susan. Join me and my amazing guests by calling in at 515-605-9325 and press 1 to speak. We'll help you achieve a breakthrough in your health today.
Hi, this is John Alexander.
And I'm Naima Latif. Meet people like you who are making a positive difference in the world.
Big difference.
Watch us every day on The Media Connection at www.youtube.com/TheMediaConnectionTV.
YouTube it. We'll see you soon.
There are people who choose to make a positive difference in the world. Our job is to bring you their stories to motivate you to do the same. Join us each week, host John Alexander and Naima Latif, as we bring you the educators, entertainers, elected officials, religious leaders, and community activists whose works are transforming this world. Find out how you can make a difference too. Be inspired. Watch The Media Connection.
Mondays at 5 p.m. and Tuesdays at 12 noon on cable TV, Channel 19 in Chicago. And other cities, check your local cable listings.
Our kids are the future and should not be left behind. One person should not decide what is the best for our 77 communities. Politicians must work together for our kids' best interests. They deserve a safe education with resources that meet every student need. Let's rebuild and restore Chicago. Vote for me for mayor of Chicago. I'm Dr. Willie Wilson, and I approve this message.
Paid for by Willie Wilson for Mayor.
My name is Dr. Debbie Green with my wonderful co-host, Naima Latif, our executive producer of The Female Solution. And again, fear is the topic this morning. Can we take that call, please?
Yes. Area code 773-263 and then 312-671. We're coming to you after that. And if you're on our switchboard, please press 1 so we can give you time to speak. 773-263, introduce yourself to our listening and viewing audience and give us your comments.
Yeah, Rashida Ali, founder of Grassroots Organization. I'm thinking that we do need to have our elected officials more accountable, held more accountable by putting pressure on them to introduce legislation that would help our community to heal. Yeah, all people, I don't care how fearless we say we are, we have phobias. And to be afraid to walk in your community on a certain street because in your community there's a lot of violence and a lot of killing. We need to stand up and be accountable like other people when somebody get killed in their neighborhood. They make it an international broadcast with their journalists and other people, and they start doing something about it. This weekend, we had 47 shootings and 9 black folks killed. Of the 47, they said it was all 47 who was our ethnic group in our community. Now, as far as the gun, I used to be a member of the NRA, and they had a lot of benefits. They had benefits for legislative issues. We had the opportunity to put into action legislation in regards to guns. So I think we all are people. We all are the government. So we all need to, especially of our ethnic group, I believe that we all need to band together and do something about these unsolved homicides in our communities. The gun laws, they're going to be taken care of. Because believe me, NRA has their lobbies. Now, if we want to have our input, I think we need to become accountable or have someone that represents us become accountable. Because phobics are going to be there, but it's pitiful when a senior citizen is afraid to walk to the park or walk in the park in her own community or his community where they're being highly taxed. So it's us, our problem. Everybody else all over the world, like the President of the United States said, everybody in the world have mental illness. But he said he never seen any mental illness like it is in Chicago, and like it is in the United States, excuse me, he said, the United States. The governor of Texas, they although that incidents happened in his community, he said he's never seen anything like Chicago. I was born and raised in Chicago. I did most of my things in Chicago. I had a gun card in Chicago, but I had fear that I would injure somebody, so I became unlicensed to carry a gun, didn't want a gun, because I didn't want to kill, because I know it was getting pushed to that, because so much pain and suffering that I was encountering, I almost shot somebody. But they were wrong. I would have been justified for it, but I didn't want to, because I'm not made like that. I don't like to injure. I hate violence, and I have a passion for what's happening to our babies and our ethnic group as a people because of the history that we're legacy that we are leaving behind as murderers and leaving it to be as such of each other. You know, so I would like to join anybody who's responsible in having a committee and organizing precinct by precinct to stop this killing that's inducing fear in our elders and fear in our children and having our children think the only way to be responsive is by injuring or killing. That's bad. That's bad for a community. It's bad for the young people to grow with that type of thought around them. So anybody who's being responsible, be a legislator, whoever you are, I would like to join on with you, with my organization, and lobby for legislation so that we can heal. Maybe we can get something that we can introduce for those who's coming out of the jail, because a lot of our people in there, especially the ones who used to be marijuana sellers that were incarcerated before it became legal, to get therapy, treatment, so that they won't retaliate, become more violent, and we have more crime and more killings in our community. I'm willing to join. And anyone who wants me to join with them, if they're doing that, they could call me, Rashida Ali, at my phone number, or just Google Grassroots Professional Fundraiser and contact me. I will join you because I am healing myself and I am strengthening my faith because I'm a victim of the youngest child in Chicago being killed by a boy that grew up with her brother. I'm a victim of a grandson that was an A-plus student, and we weren't part of no drug game. My grandson didn't carry a gun. He made $126,000 a year and was just innocently driving to get his sister shot in the head. I'm a victim. So I have that focus. I have that pain. Then I have a victim of a niece who was on the 79th Street bus. Man got in the argument, drove back, got off the bus, and pulled out a gun and shot her in the head. So, yeah, I have fear. I'm human. Yeah, I have pain. I'm human. But I do have the will to join some responsible team to make this stop happening to my next door neighbor and to my community. So, again, my name is Rashida, and you could Google Grassroots Professional Fundraiser. I even have petition on here, and let me know if I could join you doing something that would help us heal and get legislation to heal those who's coming out of the congressional centers back into the community who are angry and who are hurting. I am willing again to join Rashida at a grassroots professional fundraiser website or call me.
Thank you.
Because this is pitiful.
Yeah, well, we certainly will. There are plans to do some very effective things, and Rashida, we will be giving you a call to be a part of the solution. We thank you so much for your passion.
Thank you.
And she's seen a lot of violence in her lifetime, which is overwhelming when you have people who have experienced up close and personal the deaths of family members. That's a trauma that it becomes a part of your life.
It does.
I understand how a lot of people are feeling. And this is
absolutely.
And let me take the next call before I get ready to say something else.
Okay.
But let me go to area code 312-671. Introduce yourself to our listening and viewing audience and give us your thoughts about what we should, how we should respond to violence in our schools. Should we just keep our children home? Should we arm the teachers? Should we arm professional sharpshooters? Those have been some of the suggestions that have been put forth. What are your thoughts on the subject?
Well, in Yah Shalom, Ahura, we don't die, we multiply. Black power forever, and black is beautiful. And when we really just don't know what to do, we must pray. This is your brother, Minister Robert Floyd Cole Plump Foundation, the president of the Harold Washington Foundation. And matter of fact, I'm so glad that Sister Rashida Ali called in today. I gave her a quick call and some other Team 23. Rashida know about Team 23, which is together everyone achieves more, together everyone achieves much, together everyone achieves millions, money rather, and then together everyone achieves millions, together everyone achieves miracles, and all miracles come from God. Yes, we must do the will of God, God's will only, and he want us to be nonviolent. There's many, many different organizations, and I want the world to know that the Harold Washington Foundation is one of those organizations that's about peace, love, unity, marketing people. And remembering the world's greatest mayor, Harold Lee Washington, had a vision. Vision equals to 23. This is why I come on the air too today, because of the female solution. And that is a 23 station, which, you know, is a part of a better way of life that we can everybody can help stop the violence, robbing, stealing, and killing. And the best way to do it is to trust God, to trust the community in a way that it takes a village to raise one child, and nobody can raise a kid. A kid is the devil's advocate, which is the one that does wrong. And the reason why the children do things wrong, they don't know no better, because we have been miseducated. So we have to learn better, know better, and do better. So brothers and sisters can reach me at 312-671-2773, Minister Plump. And our team is Team 23, which is a part of the solution to the female solution. And it's going to take us the whole community. And they can zail us at the Harold Washington Foundation at 312-671-2773. And I'm open for comments. You know, we have meetings every week, twice a week, on Tuesdays from 6:58.
I'm going to be giving you a call about a specific project. I'm going to be giving you a call, so look for my call this week. There's a project that I'm launching, and I think you with your music company and all of that, I think that would be something ideal for you to work with. So we appreciate all that you do, and we definitely appreciate all of those who are putting forth the vibration of peace into the atmosphere with the things they say, the work they do, and the vibration that they hold as people who are standing for peace, love, and unity. So we definitely appreciate all that you do, Minister Plump. So look for my call soon. We have a very special strategy that we're putting together. We're going to see if we can take one more call before the next break. Thank you so much, Minister Plump. I appreciate all that you do. And, of course, we definitely appreciate you here on the Female Solution for being one who puts forth positive, peaceful vibrations. Got another caller, area code 407-701. Introduce yourself to our listening and viewing audience and give us your thoughts.
Grand Rising Sisters, Ladies of the Mic, this is Viata, your Friday morning host. And heated conversation, of course, and we had another shooting in Tulsa, Oklahoma, so we're going to keep this conversation going probably for a few weeks. And my show is on tomorrow. Let me just say first off, my show tomorrow morning at 8 a.m., please join me for health and well-being. Tomorrow I'll be talking about faith and biblical principles and laws that improve our health. And I want to say I agree with your statement, Dr. Debbie. I was trying to type comments, and I realized I was being misunderstood. So I said, let me call in and promote the show. And Dr. Debbie, if we can have TSA telling us we got to take our shoes off and be X-rayed before we get on the airplane, then yes, why can't they do that for every public school in this country? So I totally agree with you. That's where the emphasis should be first and foremost, protect our children. We got all these rules and regulations for adults, mature citizens, and they can't do what's needed and necessary to protect the children in the public school. And then secondly, we have movies. Hollywood puts out movies to kind of remind us of what's really going on. There's been a couple of movies about what's called mind control. Manchurian Candidate is one. They got one called American Mind Control, MK Ultra. Some people look at these movies as conspiracy theories, but I have met people who were caught up in the military mind control activities, and it blew my mind at first. But the more I talked to people who had this experience in the military, I started really thinking about the rabbit hole realities of these mass shootings. And you got, even in Buffalo, you have this security guard who was murdered, who was working on a patented water project that would run automobiles off water. And, oh, he happened to be in the shooting that occurred in Buffalo. And then you have all these mass shootings, 94% of them or more occur in gun-free zones, where people are not allowed to have guns in these zones. 94, you look that up, Google that, these mass shootings, they always pick these areas where the guns are not allowed in the area, or there's no way that someone's going to resist these crazy mass shooters. So there's always a rabbit hole that you can go down to realize that our government is sick, psychopathic. When I say tyrannical, you have kind of struggling with that. They want to control the masses. And if the last 2 years didn't teach us about how crazy, evil, and tyrannical this government is, then we are lost. Because big pharma, that's the other problem I want to, my last point is, we have a system where lobbyists put money in the pockets of our elected officials, and they lose their effing minds. They're not serving us. They're serving the pharmaceutical industries, for one, which is the largest lobbyist in the country. So we don't see that we are these politicians. I agree, Naima, we need to elect people who are going to serve us. But we have this system that corrupt politician. I think about Bobby Rush. That I'm sure Bobby Rush, a former Panther, had great intentions when he went into politics. But he revealed himself, in my opinion, over the last 2 years by pushing a medical procedure on people against their will. And this whole fiasco that we went through the last 2 years was about controlling people against their will for a procedure that early on showed people were dying and being disabled because of this manipulation and this pharmaceutical pressure that we were under for the last 2 years. People died under this. Now they're coming out with the side effects, myocarditis. People's hearts are inflamed. They can't. Pilots can't fly anymore. So I think the reality of even this mass shooting is that we've got a government that is evil, and they will do anything to promote and to make money. For one, military mind control is real, and some people think it's just conspiracy theory. But to me, the solution is individual responsibility. We who are conscious, we who know how to pray, we who know how to create a life and communities that are full of light and good deeds and helping teachers and all the community to be the peaceful people that we were meant to be. And this is third dimension reality we in, so anything goes right now. And I'm just saying, be self-responsibility is the solution to build your own consciousness so that we can shine light into this dark world that we are existing in right now. So thank you, ladies, for the discussion. I'm sure it's going to continue, but tomorrow I'm going into biblical and faith laws that help us build our health. So thank you.
Thank you, Viata. We appreciate you so much. We're looking forward to tomorrow's discussion. You know, the interesting thing is once you get people focused on the fear of death, they become controllable. And if we truly believe that we are eternal beings having mm-hmm. these temporary physical experiences, then rather than us focus on reacting to the fear of death, we will focus on creating a better life. And when we create an environment where the intention is for the well-being of others, we'll eliminate these problems of violence. People are responding to what they have experienced.
Exactly.
Whatever person has been hurt, has been abused, has been neglected, they are in a state of spiritual illness.
Mm-hmm.
So those who are greedy take advantage of them and sell them weapons of war.
Mm-hmm.
But even if the gun sellers were not selling, when someone is spiritually ill, they will create a weapon out of something that is just a normal tool. It could be a shovel. It could be a rake. It could be a kitchen knife. This is why they don't give them in prisons where you know people are spiritually ill. That's why they're there. They don't give them anything that could be weaponized. They can't use silverware to eat because they could use it as a weapon. They can't have belts to pull up their pants because they could use it as a weapon and strangle people. So everyday items become a weapon to the spiritually ill. So if we heal the spiritual illness, then we remove the fear of violence because they won't have the desire for violence in them. That means we have to create a society that is fair and just and respectful to all. Provide for everyone's needs. Give everyone the love, the compassion, the respect that they deserve as a being. If we did that, then all of this would disappear. That is the answer. You can't abuse people. You can't have a society that's abusive and hurtful and allowing people to suffer and live outside in the cold when you have shelter. You can't create that and then wonder why eventually some people just erupt in violence and snap. You can't abuse people privately inside the home as a parent who's abusive and hurtful to a helpless child because they grow up to be that angry, vengeful adult, and they spew that anger on innocent people. So if we would just treat each other right, and create systems that treated each other right, we would not have this problem. This is what all of these explosions of violence are teaching us. Fix your society. Change the way you're treating each other. This is what you're going to suffer until you choose to do that. It's so simple. So people who have said, well, we need to pray. Well, okay, when we pray, God's going to tell us the same thing. Treat each other right. Treat each other right. Treat each other right. And the problem will go away.
Okay.
It's that
Absolutely.
Simple.
Absolutely. Yes. Queen Zelda Robinson, one of our Facebook viewers, said lobbyists will continue to control us until we demand to do something about it. We did it with the George Floyd. We can do it again.
That's right. They did just pass the legislation. So now we passed legislation. Well, there was the George Floyd Fairness in Policing Act, which they had various things, number one, banning chokeholds and so forth. So now you have laws that make it illegal to do certain things, and that will prevent a certain percentage of the population from doing the hurtful things. But then you have some people who disobey laws. So what do you do when they violate the law and hurt someone anyway? So this is, I mean, we have to do a number of things. First of all, have the laws that are protective of people, and then remove the thing inside of people that makes them violate the law. What is the pain that's inside of them that makes them choose to hurt others? That's where the battle really is. I know we got to take our last break. But, Dr. Debbie, you're in that business of helping the mentally ill, so
yes.
That's where the battleground really is. And if we can all figure out our part in restoring our society to wellness, our each individual self to wellness, then we can remove the problem.
Absolutely. And I'll speak on that once we come back.
And we'll be right back. And if you're on our switchboard now and have not spoken, press 1, and we will get your thoughts, and we'll be right back after this quick break, so stay tuned.
Is Monday morning a struggle to get out of bed into the swing of things? Well, don't worry, you are not alone. Join us for thought-provoking, stimulating, and mindful conversations on Higher Learning with Zelda Speaks for your Monday morning mindfulness session on Blog Talk Radio, The Female Solution, Mondays, 7:30 until 9 a.m. Be sure and send your ideas, thoughts, comments, and suggestions. Also, if you'd like to be a guest on the show, visit ZeldaSpeaks.com and send us your info. We'd love to have you. Experience mindfulness moments with the mindfulness/stress relief coach, Zelda Speaks. And thanks for sharing the mindfulness moment tip of the day. Stay on purpose, stay empowered, and stay tuned to your next session of Mindfulness on Higher Learning with Zelda Speaks. Make it a mindful day. And thanks for listening.
The Female Solution Global Radio TV Show invites you to an invigorating conversation with our team of hosts Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Central Time. Start your week with Monday Morning Mindfulness with Zelda Speaks. Tuesdays, Self-Care with Jodi Susan. Wednesdays, Repairing Broken Families with Naima Latif and co-host Kareem Hamid. Thursdays, Soulful Solutions with Dr. Debbie Green. And Fridays, Health and Well-Being with Beata. Saturdays, tune in 12 noon to 2 p.m. Central Time. First Saturday, Success Strategies with Jana. Second Saturday, Wendy Williams Esquire on Relationships. Third Saturday, Move Around with Deborah. And fourth Saturday, Wisdom with Mama D. Join us Sundays, 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. Central Time for Soul Purpose Healing with Beata. Call in and comment 515-605-9325. Press 1 to speak to the host and be a part of the solution.
Crime in Chicago continues to increase. Communities and politicians must come together to make a change. No one person can solve these problems by themselves, but I believe together we can make progress. Let's provide job training, economic growth, and invest into our 77 community. Let's rebuild and restore Chicago. Vote for me for mayor of Chicago. I'm Dr. Willie Wilson, and I approve this message.
Paid for by Willie Wilson for Mayor.
welcome back. Welcome back to Dr. Debbie Green's show.
We've got another caller on the line also. Yeah, we've got another caller.
Say again?
We got another caller. You want to take the caller?
Sure, yeah. And then I'll comment. Go ahead.
Yes, okay. Area code 312-568. Introduce yourself to our listening audience and give us
Hello.
Yes. Go right ahead. What's your name?
Hello.
Where are you calling from?
I'm Prophetess Darva Watkins from Chicago. Good morning, ladies. I've been listening to you guys. I am so excited. Prophetess Debbie Green and Nam and everybody else that's on here, even with Plump, who brought me on this line this year. But I wanted to say that it is so grateful and thankful to know what is going on. And so I wanted to say to the women, even the young lady that spoke about, you know, doing what needs to be done, the political arena is my baby. I've been in politics for 40-plus years, and I want to say this. So we do what we're doing with the Women Are Rising. We're doing some great and wonderful things. I want to bless you women. Hallelujah, God. And I want to say thank you, you know, for being part of whatever the Women Are Rising is trying to do. There was a shooting in Inglewood. I went to take a nap yesterday, and the Holy Spirit woke me up during the nap and said, I need you to look at your phone. And I was like, well, yeah, I'm tired. I want to rest today. He said, but you can't rest right now. Time will come. And so I lift up the phone, looked at it, and it said a Chicago police officer was shot in the Inglewood community. I had just gotten off the phone with one of my sisters that's doing work in Inglewood, and we were talking about how Inglewood is going to change. Hallelujah, God. And so what happened was I looked at the article, and I found out that it was a female that was shot. And so other people were calling me and said, Sister Darva, you got to see what's going on. I said, I already saw it. But, you know, I prayed for those police officers, and I have been contacting our superintendent of police about the violence because I have a proposal to that he has in his hand that belonged to our team. And so it was given to him, I assume, by, I don't know if it was given to him by the mayor, whatever. I'm saying all this to say that I have been in contact with the superintendent. I'm waiting on him to get back with me. I've been in contact with Mayor Lori Lightfoot. The reason why I'm bringing all this up, because I saw in the spirit, hallelujah, God, that what's going to take place because of the shooting. And this is going to, hallelujah, God. I see a Holy Spirit fire coming to Chicago. I see it. I see it. I see it. We're going to have a revival because of that. But we're asking that we and Women Are Rising with Men on a Mission and the 10,000 Men for Justice, we need to come together also with anybody that wants to, you know, be involved. And we want to be involved. We're not an entity by ourselves. And so the what's going to take place is that this is going to, the Inglewood thing has set off an alarm for the fire, like the Chicago fire, but this is going to be a different type of fire. I am asking people to pray out with us on Saturdays, 12 noon at the Hale Washington Park Center every Saturday, and we're going to be praying at the Columbus Park every Saturday on every Sunday. The reason what is going on, and even the Apostle Debbie, I really love her spirit. I love her. I am so glad that I got a chance to meet with her and speak with her. And I want to say this because I've been telling everybody about this phenomenon, the lady, a woman of God. And so what is happening is that I'm going to say this. I'm not speaking it. I don't want to do this. But some people are asking me to run for mayor. But I don't want to do that. I don't feel that in my spirit. But God keeps sending all these great and wonderful people to come in to join us in unity. So I'm going to pray about that. My sisters, I ask you guys, and I don't want to be the mayor, but I've been talking to Mayor Lightfoot, and her people are ignoring all of my calls. And God said, I got this. He said, there's a purpose for that. They're not, they don't want you to come in. I'm like, but God, I don't want to be mayor. I don't want to do anything. I just want to do what needs to be done because of my 40 years being in the political arena with 100,000, you know, with thousands of people that I put in office. And Congressman Rush is who I came up through also after Hale Washington. He was on the radio speaking yesterday about why he's chosen this young lady to become who she is. I am working on so to become in his position. I am asking people to keep me lifted up in prayer because there are so many people coming from me, to me to ask me to work on this campaign, help us with this person. Can you get on this and let's do this? And I don't want to spread myself too thin. So I'm asking the sisters across of Chicago to please come and help. I need help. We got the resources. The Women Are Rising got the resources. We have the financial resources. We have the people, but we need help. And so I'm asking people to please come and Prophetess and Apostle Debbie Deborah. I love Deborah. Do you know what she did? And I pray that you would please just come and just do what needs to be done because we need you in Chicago. We need you, my sister.
I'm coming.
We appreciate the work that you're doing, and I'll be contacting you about participating in a special project that I'm launching, and I love your spirit, and there are greater things to be done. You know, sometimes people think being at the helm is the answer, but a mayor, a governor, even a president, they are one person who can have a vision, but it's all the people, all the parts that make the body work. I mean, the head is nothing without the arms, the legs, all the organs inside to actually do the work that needs to be done. So this is what those of us who are committed to transformation of the society, this is our task to do. And you can definitely get it done. And you don't have to have a political office to do it. You just have to have the right spirit. And sister, you got the right spirit.
Yes.
Bless you. Thank you.
All right. It's divine, divinely connected and divine appointment. So,
yes. So we thank you for calling.
Wonderful work. Definitely. We will talk soon.
Yes. So, you know, we've had a lot of suggestions. You know, again, people saying we got to pray. And I understand the spiritual energy that needs to be generated. But, you know, God basically gave us a beautiful world and the free will to do with it whatever we choose and put in place a system of cause and effect so that we can understand the effects of our actions and we can choose the actions that give us the effects we desire. So right now we're getting effects that we don't like because we have created causes that created these effects. So it's our responsibility to change the cause. We are the cause of these effects.
Mm-hmm.
So as we pray and get a reminder that we have the power to change what we have created so that we can get the effect that we desire,
Right. Let
us make those decisions to do those things that we are receiving as instructions when we pray. So prayer has been the suggestion. And then there are those who are saying, well, look, you got to arm yourselves against the people who got mental illness or who got anger or who are just mean, evil people. You got to arm yourself. Okay. And so then you have a weapon that you're going to do damage to someone. And A, have you been taught to use it properly? B, can you control your own emotions so that you don't use it against someone you love that just happened to make you angry at the moment? Those are issues. And then we have people saying, look, you know, maybe we need to just keep your children home. They shouldn't go to school if the schools can't keep them safe. And then, of course, Dr. Debbie, you've mentioned a lot of the technological things that we have available if we would just use them. We've got cameras. We can watch things. We can have schools be gated, communities, and you can't get in. You got metal detectors so nobody can get through the doors if they're wearing anything that could be used as a weapon. So, I mean, we have the things we can do. And we have the things that have been effective in other places. But what do you see as the major thing to deal with our state of mind of fear that triggers so much incorrect reaction to these events?
Well, we have two energies that move across this world's plane from equator to equator. You know, as long as human mankind has been walking this earth, we've been dealing with these two energies. And some call it good and evil, some call it positive and negative. But whatsoever they are, you have to make a choice. There's no gray middle ground. Either you're going to have the highest good or you're going to self-destruct. It's only those are two things. And, you know, a lot of times we compromise because we're not sure. We're not sure of what we're dealing with because we don't know. We don't know when the next massacre is going to come. We do not know why a person will self-destruct, because when people self-destruct, when they hurt themselves, when they hurt other people, okay, this is what's going on inside that human being, okay? So that's whatever the bacteria is, the virus comes from the inside out.
Yeah.
And it's been there. It's been brewing just as something boiling underneath a volcano, mm-hmm. a hurricane,
right.
underneath the current of their being. Okay, so we become, you know, affected by this. I call it impacted. Mm-hmm. We become impacted by a person's words. Something simple, right? With a person's words, we become impacted by a person's actions. We become impacted by so many things that other people do, even ourselves. Whatever's created inside of us, if it's fear-based, it's inside of you. You self-defeat, self-sabotage, you're going to self-destruct. So it's not just what other people are doing. It's also if we have been affected by the bacteria. So what should one do in a situation like this? And they said, you know, either look at the glass half empty or half full. You have to make your choice. You have to make your choice. Again, we can point fingers at every human being, every the government, the state, the county, or whatever, but it's still what it is. It doesn't matter. When you lay your head on that pillow, you have to ask yourself, what have I done for me? What have I done for me that I can protect myself and another human being? You know what I'm saying? Because, again, you know, I have to go right back to what Michael Jackson said. Mm. God bless his soul. I'm looking at the man in the mirror.
Mm.
I'm asking him to make the change. If anybody can get it, if you want to make a difference, take a look at yourself and make the change. So which means that we don't have control. We can go and lobby. We can have mass, thousands
mass
of people.
Marches.
Yes, we can change a law if we unify, but that still is not going to stop guns. See, guns is a pandemic, epidemic situation. They're going to sell guns even when you can go to every house and remove all guns, and you will still see somebody with a gun. Because this has been going on for years and years. But again, it is not the gun that's the issue. It's the person holding and pulling the trigger.
Absolutely.
So you know, I mean, we can change the government. The government can give us whatever we need, but is that going to stop mass killing? Is that going to stop people from hurting each other? Is that going to stop people from verbally damaging each other with their actions in their family, in their household? Domestic violence is on the rise as well. Everything self-destructive is on the rise. And I want to say this, you know, because this was given to me back in 2015. I am an avid prayer. I believe in God. I will not give up. I will not at any factor remove my faith level, but that's what I believe. But I remember saying a prayer, and I asked God, I said, Mom, what's going to happen? This was back in 2015. He said, man will slowly self-destruct, and I will come back to clean what is mine. And I often think about that comment, and it rests in my soul. And since 2015, even before then, I still see the same thing, self-destruction, over and over again in some capacities, over and over again. So, again, what is the argument? The argument is what? Love.
Always.
We don't always. We go back to love. We go back to love. If we don't keep love alive, people, we are going to perish completely.
That's always the answer.
And that's it.
It's something we can do of our own free will. No one is keeping us from doing that. No one is keeping us from being kind to others. No one is keeping us from sharing with others. No one is keeping us from being compassionate. Everything that we need to do to create a change is within our power to do.
Yes.
So the question that is in the minds of so many people when they hear of these actions is, what do we do about those people who are under the influence of lower frequency vibrations that make them self-destruct and do destructive behaviors toward others? Now, some can call it evil, some can call it the devil, but basically it's the lower vibration that makes you not aware of the presence of God. That's what
exactly.
Can we raise the vibration of people who are existing in that lower frequency vibration so that they can reconnect to God? Well, there are many ways to do that.
Mm-hmm.
First being, show them love. You have to help them reconnect to who they are, an expression of God. They've lost their way. They've lost their connection to the divine. And if they're living in conditions where they're receiving non-love, which means distress and fear of lack of being able to take care of themselves or to have basic comforts or to even feel like they are being respected as a being that's worthy of love, if they are living lives that are painful, that pain is going to be expressed at others, at people who have nothing to do with what they've experienced, but that's who's going to feel the effects of the pain. So we are all connected, and we're all responsible for the environment that we allow to be manifested.
Absolutely.
If we're allowing a society to manifest cruelty and insensitivity and hatred, then we're going to feel the effects of that cause. So when we know that there are people who are struggling to survive, people who are living in fear that they may be forced to sleep out in the cold or might be hungry and not have food to eat, or might be beaten or assaulted, and no one's going to step in and stop it or save them or help them. If we know that young children are living under this kind of terror, that this is what they're going to be forced to endure and no one's going to help them, what do we think that child is going to grow up to manifest?
Mm-hmm.
And when they get 18 and they can get a weapon sold to them by somebody who just wants to make some money, and they're going to express that pain, and people who don't know anything about what happened to them are going to feel the pain. So if we want to stop the violence, we have to stop the cause, which is lack of love.
Yes.
And all of us have the power to help in that regard. All of us see people around us, young people right now, some of them who are living homeless or living in homes where they're being abused or neglected or teased or bullied or treated badly for whatever reason, how they look or how much money they don't have or whatever the case may be. We see it, we watch it, and we ignore it. But what does that person become once they have the power to give back the pain that was given to them?
Exactly.
So we can change the situation right now. We can stop the pain that we're seeing right now among young people. And we can heal the hurt by giving love. And so we can stop the future of violence. But we have to care about our fellow beings. And each individual can do something that makes life better for someone else every single day. One act of kindness to a total stranger can make a difference.
Exactly. Absolutely. And I just want to, before we, because we got 5 more minutes, I just want to reiterate the actions and behaviors of a person that's in immense fear. I'm not talking about ordinary fear, but immense fear. And from the ages of the adolescents, from the age of 12 all the way up to 25, because we know that, you know, most of the mass killings and things of that nature, this is the demographic of age demographic that we're dealing with. When people start to isolate, when they get too quiet, you know, just don't assume that it's okay that your child, your adolescent, you know, your family member is all right. Oh, they're just to themselves. They're just locked in a room. When sleep is interrupted, when they're getting up in the middle of the night, you hear them stirring. You know, when they're not hardly eating, you know, or some type of interruption in ADLs, 2 weeks or more, consistency. When you start seeing something like that, isolating, not communicating, irritated, agitated, something is going on in that person's mind, okay? Something that they may not be talking about, something that they might have experienced, whether it's a violation verbally, sexually, you know, physically, or whatever the case may be, but something has happened. Something happened, and, you know, a lot of times they all say, oh, it's nothing. I'm fine. I don't want to be bothered, okay? And, you know, if they keep pushing away, which we call it self-sabotage, when they keep pushing away, you know, the thing about this is, you know, instead of asking them what's wrong, ask this question. Tell me what's right with you today. What's right with you? You know what I'm saying? Did you have a good day? Did you sleep all right? How much sleep did you get? You know, I heard you stirring. I see that you've been not talking much lately. You know, is there any way I can be of help to you? You know, I don't want to judge you. I don't want to assume that you're okay. I want to know you're okay. You know, and I mean, sometimes they open up and talk, and sometimes they don't, but you still watch the behavior. Watch your children when they come back from school and they're still attending school. Ask them, did anyone bully you today? Ask them the question. Don't wait until the children are off and come and tell you if they're bullied.
Right.
Because fear takes the voice.
Yes.
That person no longer advocates for itself. Fear takes their voice. And they figure, if I tell you, you're going to go and tell somebody at the school, and it's just going to get worse. I hear kids say that all the time. You ask them, has anyone, teachers, peers, your friends, has anyone said anything to make you uncomfortable? You don't have to use the word bully. Anyone said anything to make you uncomfortable?
Mm-hmm.
I need to know. I'm not going to run and tell anyone. I want to make sure you're okay.
Mm-hmm.
I want to make sure you're all right. So let me know, you know, so we can do something about it so you don't have to think that you have to stay in misery, because you do not have to. So start asking your children's questions. Don't just assume because they're quiet, they're all right. You know what I'm saying? The thing about this is quietness does not mean peace. Sometimes it means chaos.
Yes.
You know? So know what your children are thinking. And the thing about this is if you don't have an open door of verbal communication, write a letter, get a card, leave it on their pillow, leave it on their bed. And write a letter and just say, hey, I just want to let you know I care about you. You know, show tokens of expression of love so they'll know you're there.
Absolutely. Show you care. Show that you're there.
That's the only way you're going to get through.
Absolutely.
Is love. Is love. Love is the only thing that's going to get through to fear. Thank you so much. For all of my Facebook viewers, I appreciate you. Appreciate your comments. And thank you, Law Talk Radio. Let's do this again.
Absolutely.
I think this is a topic that we definitely need to talk about, and because we are lobbying for peace in some type of way. Some type of way. We have to get more of it. We have to get more peace on this earth.
Have to get more peace. Well, if you pressed one and we're about to go, just join us again tomorrow. Of course, come on back in next week for Soulful Solutions with Dr. Debbie Green.
Thank you so much.
come to the end of our show today, but you can hear every show in the archives at www.blogtalkradio.com/the-female-solution. You can also hear today's show on the Female Solution Facebook page. Go to www.facebook.com/thefemalesolution. Leave your comments about today's show. You can always reach me on my website at www.naimalatif.com. That's www.naimalatif.com. Watch our TV shows, listen to our radio shows, order our books, and be sure to get your copy of the book, The Female Solution. On behalf of our team of radio hosts, I'd like to thank all of you who participated in today's discussion. And to our global family listening from all around the world, we say thank you. To our family in China, Sheshe, India, Zanyaba, Japan, Arigato, Korea, Kamsahamnida, Russia, Spasiba, Germany, Danke, Poland, Dziękuję, France, Merci, Spain, Gracias, Italy, Grazie, Egypt, Shukran, Ghana, Madasi, Nigeria, Eshe, South Africa, Ngiyabonga, Senegal, Jerez, Kenya, Asante, Israel, Toda, Pakistan, Shukriya, Afghanistan, Tashakur, Saudi Arabia, Shukran, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. Thank you, and may peace be upon you and the mercy of God and God's blessings.